This is the Rip Track Podcast, Episode 11, Part 2. In Part 1 of this episode, we heard from a few manufacturers who were showing new products at TrainFest 2009. It's time to pick up where we left off, so let's jump right in and hear from some more manufacturers.
North American Railcar Corporation.
Okay.
We're going to be bringing out all of those cars in about 8 weeks.
Okay.
When we made our new mold, we actually made 15 different variations of the car.
Okay.
For example, I have two potash cars here.
Uh-huh.
One has got 17 roof support, one has got 11. One's got toggle lock, one's got spiral clog outlet gates.
I see.
All the other cars there, they're all different.
Slightly different details on each one.
When we do the cars in China,
yeah.
I asked the Chinese, can you guys build cars for us that are higher quality?
Mm-hmm.
Can you build cars higher quality other general manufacturers
familiar
with?
Right.
And they said, yes, we can. I said, why aren't you doing higher quality for them? They don't want to spend the extra money.
Oh, of course not.
So we did something novel as model railroaders. We spent the extra money.
Mm-hmm.
We drove the Chinese nuts. We did 15 different variations on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Our attitude was, let's not make it cheaper, let's make it better. Because the average model railroad doesn't know what we've done with these cars.
Right.
I've got to show you something. Hold it in your hand.
What we'll do is call you.
Does it seem unusually heavy?
It does seem a little heavier than I'm used to.
Okay. When I went to China, I asked the Chinese, I said, you know, I'd really like to make our cars 20% above NMRA,
mm-hmm.
but I'm reluctant to do so. And the engineer said to me, well, we can do that for you. I said, yeah, but if you put too much weight in the car slows down, doesn't perform well.
Right.
Do you know what the engineer said to me?
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
You won't pay double?
I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you see, you're building your car with us, and you told us you want to spare no expense on the quality,
mm-hmm.
the detail. I said, yeah. He said, we're building you trucks that belong to Pacific Western, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're North American Railcar.
Right.
I said, yeah. If you tell us to design the trucks ahead of time to handle heavier loads, we can do that for you. And I said, wait a minute. How? And they said to us, it's simple. You see the axle in there?
Mm-hmm.
The point on the end of the axle?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make it nice and sharp and pointed.
Okay.
If you know any laws of physics.
Right.
If you lower your amount of surface friction, you reduce your drag, right?
Right.
So we're going to make a very sharp point on your axle, and your female portion of your trucks,
mm-hmm.
are going to be shaped differently than Atlas and everybody else's. Consequently, you can't take an Atlas or Kato or Walters or KD wheel set and put it in here.
It won't fit.
Right. Now, as a net result, what happens now is the cars roll better.
Mm-hmm.
They have less friction. So they're high performance trucks. Nobody knows who's done this, right? Push one of the cars. Go ahead, push one.
It looks like Milky Way.
That's smooth.
So those are the special cars.
You see the roll?
Yeah.
If you order it
rolls right back.
Now, the other thing we did is I said, well, why aren't you doing this for Atlas? Atlas doesn't want to do this. How come? It costs more to manufacture the car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean it costs more? Dan, we've got to go and pay the girls every cloth,
mm-hmm.
to make every point on the axles nice and smooth, right?
Right.
It costs more labor. I said, how much more per car? Oh, it's pretty expensive. How much more per car? 24 cents. I said, my customers can afford 24 cents.
Yes, we can.
You see the underside of that car?
Mm-hmm.
You see the grain gates?
Yeah.
You see the detail on them?
Yeah.
How did we do that? It's not plastic. They originally did my grain gates for me, very similar to what 8 Rod has in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I wish I could make them smaller in scale. And they said, well, that's the best we can do. I said, how come when I buy my Panzer Kampfwagen 4 models from Tamiya, I get detail parts that are smaller?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a different process. They used a Lost Wax Castle, the jewelry with the diamond ring.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why don't we do that here? And they said, don't want to do that, no good for you. I said, why not? It's going to cost too much money per car. I said, how much money per car? 72 cents. I can afford
so
72 cents.
We've only added a dollar onto the car now, total.
Hold on.
20% over weight.
You see the hole for the jack cut?
Yeah.
When they did my first test sample, that was an indentation.
Right.
And I said, no, guys, that is a damn hole. And the engineer said, well, we're going to have to change your mold. Uh-huh. But we're going to have to charge you for that. I said,
sure.
Uh-huh. I said, how much? This is going to be expensive. And how much money are we talking about? Oh, $300. I said, you call me when you're done. Okay? Another thing we did, on the side of the trucks, can you see the micro printing? Can you see the foundry stamp?
Not yet.
You look on the side of the truck, you see the foundry stamp. It's there.
Oh, they're up on the top.
Yep.
Yeah, there it is.
The Chinese told me it could not be done. Now, you have to understand a little bit about my personality.
Yeah.
One is I picked up my iPod, and I showed them the micro printing along the seam for Sony.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you're telling me the Japanese are smarter than you guys? They don't like. They like to get in their comfort zone and do what they're used to, right?
Everyone is slightly different.
They said to me, we have a few ideas. We're going to send you a sample in 2 weeks.
This is a hot-ass
car. The next thing they did on the car, if you turn the car on upside down.
The roof. The hatches.
One of the problems with the Intermountain car, when they did the National Steel car, when they designed the mold 15 years ago, no one foresaw the day when you'd be changing couplers. So they made the coupler pocket a blue one.
Oh, sure.
So I knew where all the bodies were buried. The glue, you notice the pocket is a screw one,
right.
Not a glue one.
Easy to switch it out.
The next thing I did, ours were done by blueprints from the government. They weren't done from photographs.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do an Anaretro yourself.
I model an N scale primarily.
Okay. Let's talk about N scale. This here, part, you notice the roof walk and the ladders are straight?
Yeah. And nice and thin too.
Yes. You wonder how we do that?
Sure.
You listen to the Chinese,
yeah.
And you don't nickel and dime them. Now, the Chinese said to me, are we going to make your mold, or are you going to have someone in North America make your mold? I said, what's the difference? The difference is, cost is the same, but if we do it, we can control the engineering. We want to do the job for you from womb to tomb, okay? We can control the process. If there's a problem on the shop floor with warpage, we can go back in the other room, pull the tool out, and go and tweak it, right?
And fix it.
We can't tweak it with sitting in Denver, can we?
Right, right.
So they said, it's going to cost about a dollar more per car to do it this way. The roof walks are straight. So you see what I've done, Sean, because I've been scared of myself too. Wherever I could, I added detail.
Sure.
It costs more, but I figure in the end run, the average HO and instant model railroader, and they begin to see it and say, wait a minute here, look at what he's doing.
Imagine that, and I'm Mark Williams. We're a brand new company, 8 months old, so everything is growing fast, rapidly, and jumping into every scale we can.
Mm-hmm.
We may not get to the real big ones like Garden, but we do have O, mm-hmm. HO, S-scale, and N-scale.
So all the most popular scales.
Yeah, it seems that everyone's diving right into them, so
sure.
That's good. And we're going to try and crossbreed it. We do have all our apartment buildings in HO now, but they are also in S-scale now. If we have a guy in Boston that wanted them, we've gone that route. We're going to be having them in N-scale because, of course, we now have the Chicago L, as you see in HO.
Yeah.
We have the Chicago L in N-scale.
I actually saw something about that in email a while back.
Okay.
So there is publicity going out already.
It's starting to.
Yeah.
And because we are now in N-scale, that means we have to have these apartment buildings that we have in HO.
Right.
Have to go down to that scale. So
oh,
they're
yeah.
coming. They'll be out very soon. We come out with a staircase to get you up to the people platform on the L system. We'll have the Quincy station coming down the road under railroad crosswalks are all coming. We actually have a complete set of prints for the Chicago L, the original set, so
okay.
We're going to be, we talked with one of the designers, a matter of fact,
oh,
and
nice.
He gave us his prints.
Nice.
Absolutely so, fabulous this weekend.
So got some really, really reliable source material on that
yes,
one then.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have switch houses up on top, and there's a lot of
nice.
There's also, he gave us some lift bridges that are Chicago, and we'll
okay.
be doing some lift bridges, and all this will all be laser wood.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to work with, simple to put together. We try to keep it as simple as possible because mm-hmm. we want you to have lots of time to build more kits.
Oh, sure. And play with your trains, too.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of leaving all those kits on the shelf because you can't get them all together, we'll try to make it faster if we
yeah.
can.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it works very well, and the stuff is very strong. We've been playing with it now for a while, and it's really working out nice, holding together well. A lot of the tie system, railway tie systems that are up on these L systems, we've got now a curved section. It's all cut in one piece, so you don't have to lay individual ties.
Okay.
All the under mats are there.
Keep it quick and simple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Our fire escapes, as you can see on the apartment buildings, all sold separately.
Yeah.
It's all cut in wood. Again, simple to put together. Once you get your pattern going and your motion, it's all set and it goes very
easy. You don't have
to
bend the brass like we do on the other
ones.
No
bending, no.
Okay.
And even then, if you have to, and I'm going to be coming out with them. I saw some on a website. They're curved. Balconies are all wrought iron. Well, I'm going to make a building that matches that and put the curved balconies up
nice.
There, all wrought iron.
That'll be neat.
Yeah. A lot of these buildings, we have the modular kits, and you can take it and do it modularly.
Mm-hmm.
By a wall, it has the window sections varying from a 1-inch up to about a 5-inch, and then even then, if you see something in our large buildings you like that one wall and want a flat, let me know. We'll outfit you with that wall, the window kit to go with it, and you've got your flat to go against the wall if you like the tall kit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to cover everybody, trying to make it easy for everybody. I'm really trying to get after the kit basher and help him out, because there's not a lot of stuff necessarily. They got to bash a lot of things. We want to make that easy.
Okay.
So that's where we're kind of at. We have a set of wagons that just came out last weekend. We ran production all week trying to get them ready, and they were out of the New York area, so we've got these little wagons.
Okay.
Nice piece. That's pretty much round about it, unless you had a couple more questions.
Well, I had one question. Looking at your display, I noticed what you've done on the corners of the buildings here. It looks like it's
all zipper
edge. Interleaved. Yeah, zipper, that's a good word for it.
And the zippers are actually the bricks.
Okay.
On there. They look a little bit more burnt because they are kind of small, but you lightly sand them and that's gone. But what's nice about the zipper edge, every one of my buildings will fit to the next building.
Okay. So they're all the same size.
Exactly.
Okay.
You want to make that flat, you can do it and join every building all the way across.
Nice. Nice. And that's how we did the big one here in the middle and
on
the bottom.
Right. The industrial factory we have, which is about 5 feet long.
Yeah.
The brick sections, they pop out,
okay.
So you can paint those separately,
okay.
Put them back in, relief them a little so you get that extra dimension. The window, the industrial window, is cut all flat, but once you get that out, you can take it, these windows will open.
Yeah.
They'll open right up.
I see this one is here.
Yeah, that one's already opened up there, yeah.
Nice.
You want to open too many times because they will obviously wear them because it's just wood on a little pivot point.
Well, I'm glad to see the stuff in N scale as well, because I model in N scale.
I'm amazed at how much N is here.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the modules I've been working on actually has an L track on it. And I was wondering how to do all the structure on the side and underneath. And that's going to make it a lot easier once I get to that point.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, as I say, now that I have the original prints, a lot more is going to come.
Oh, yeah.
And work with that stage, with both L's.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot more coming.
Great. Do you have a website?
We do. It's a little clumsy yet, but it's working. If you can get through proper, please call, because we are trying to correct some problems we're having.
Oh, sure.
But I design them.
Computer support. I know how that goes.
I'm designing the buildings. I'm figuring out the packaging for the build. I'm doing everything. My wife and I have a model expert. I'm actually not from the model railroad. I'm an artist.
Uh-huh.
I'm a tool maker.
Uh-huh.
I'm a sculptor. So that's where the creative background comes.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Joe, he is my authority. He's my God.
Yeah.
He has everything. He tells me if I'm doing it right or if we're missing something. He's been in it. He's in our area. He's the guy you talk to. So.
What area is that?
We're in the Windsor area. We're across from Detroit.
Okay.
Trying to get all, obviously, we're over the States.
Yeah,
my father lives in Michigan, so I'm back and forth, so we're everywhere.
Okay, great.
But yeah, it's coming. All the apartment buildings, there's a floor in every one. All the floors are there all the way up.
So it's not just a big box.
No, it's not a box.
Yeah.
If you want to take the time to do each floor and light each floor, you can. Some of the smaller buildings, even the interior walls are there with door openings through to each room.
Nice.
The foyers in some of the buildings are laser etched, so they look like a tiled floor.
Oh, nice.
You'll get two sets of windows in most of our kits, like an industrial type window and a double hung window, which will operate and go up and down. So that's kind of a nice thing. If you want to spend the time, and if the guy doesn't, he puts the other industrial window in and it's shut.
Well, it's a couple of points for the AP certificate once you get there. So.
Yeah. Cool. So that's kind of nice. It works out really well. We're really excited about what we've got, and from what we see at the show, this owl, of course, we're in the right area.
Oh, yeah.
The Chicago owl is a good hit.
Yeah, well, I saw the a couple of photos of the N-scale one online and said, I want that.
Now, so. Something else I got to point out,
yeah.
This is Chicago. Well, I'm done.
Right.
But the New York's L system is a very close match.
Very similar, yeah.
And we will be bringing pieces to match their system as well.
Okay.
So it'll work for everybody.
Cool.
I'm George Bogatuck, and I'm with Soundtracks and Blackstone Models.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our new products. First thing is this past week, we've actually received our DNRGW long caboose and our Blackstone Models line.
Okay.
These are shipping now to dealers, and we've done 5 different car numbers with 2 different paint schemes each, mm-hmm. and both a weathered and a non-weathered version.
Mm-hmm.
Weathered versions are sold out at our factory, so get them at the dealer while you can.
Sure.
And then we also do a painted unlettered, and each of these are unique to the road number specific that mm-hmm. the model is there. Also at this show, we're also showing our DNRGW Economy Door Boxcar.
Mm-hmm.
This is a simplified hardware version of the door that was on that was in comparison with our old boxcar. This was in a rebuild program the Rio Grande used to save money.
Okay.
We're also showing an early pre-production sample of our drop bottom gone. This is just simply as a representation to kind of show you the progress we've made. There are some tooling changes on there, so unfortunately we can't let photographs get out of this as of right now.
Sure.
Because it is not representative of the final product.
Okay.
We've also got CAD drawings of our C19 that'll be coming out late next year.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got CAD drawings of the economy door box car, the drop bottom gondola, and then also we're showing CAD drawings of our tank cars. We're doing a frameless and a narrow frame,
okay.
both to be released probably mid to late summer next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also announced a double-deck stock car
mm-hmm.
that we haven't finished the final paint scheme and road number matrix yet, so we haven't started taking pre-orders on those yet.
Okay.
And those will probably be out late next year around the same time as the C19.
Okay. And this is all in HO scale?
This is all in HO and 3.
Okay.
It's HO scale, narrow
right.
runs on 3-foot rails.
Right. Right.
Now,
any
on the
plans
south-
to switch to make S or even NN3?
On the immediate plans right now, we don't have anything to expand other than what we've been doing now.
Okay.
We do have plans. We've been just in discussions with looking at beyond 2011,
mm-hmm.
but as of right now, none of that is including any other scales but HO and
3. So not yet.
So not yet.
Yeah.
Now, down the line, we may decide to go ahead and expand. Who knows?
We'll see.
Those decisions have yet to be discussed and made.
Well, I'm primarily an N-scale modeler, so if you move into NN3, I might be looking at that pretty seriously. But
that's like running a Swiss watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but what you do have here really does look really nice.
Great. Well, on the soundtrack side,
yes.
we do have a few other decoders that we've announced, first
okay.
of which is a KT-1000.
Mm-hmm.
This is a drop-in decoder specifically designed for Kato HO diesels.
Okay.
This will be coming with the LEDs built in the proper places to match up to the light pipes in your model.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally take out their light board, put in the decoder
just
with the lights,
drop it in and run.
Drop it in and you're ready to roll.
Nice.
Many of them have speaker mounts already built into it, so you just mm-hmm. use your 1-inch speaker in their enclosure and you're set.
Mm-hmm.
We've also expanded our sound file line. These were announcements that we made in the NMRA over the summer, but
right.
we do have an Alco 539, both a turbo and a non-turbocharged.
Mm-hmm.
And these, we've been getting brave reviews from Alco fanatics and saying that these are the best sound decoders they've had in a long time. So it's really good to hear that positive feedback.
Nice. Nice.
Going back to the KTs for a moment, these will be specific to the model. So instead
okay.
of traditionally where you would order an EMD 710, you're going to be ordering a EMD for an SD70 Mac or an SD38,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be very specific because of the locations of the LEDs.
Okay. That's good.
And they will, of course, come with the appropriate sound files as well.
I would hope so.
Absolutely.
Putting that much detail into it, it should be right.
Right. Now, these should be shipping as early as next week.
Okay.
They're in the process. We were hoping to have them here at the show. They're in the process of building, and we didn't quite get them done in time. So they're looking to be shipping the end of next week for the first batches of it.
Okay, cool. And you have a website, right?
Yes, we do have a website. It's www.soundtracks.com.
I think you got spoken over there. Try again.
It's www.soundtracks.com.
Okay.
And www.blackstonemodels.com.
All one word, no spaces.
No spaces.
Okay.
And they're accessible. We've also been doing a blog that's linked to by both websites. Basically, it's kind of a behind the scenes of what's going on at Soundtracks, kind of just showing pictures of our daily life there. And we also post everyone with a tech tip, which kind of helps the people who may be a little afraid of programming decoders, kind of takes a certain aspect of the decoders and simplifies it to a little bit of an example of and a practice to kind of get you used to it and maybe learn different things.
And more information is always helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so these are all available, and we try to post about twice a month.
Okay, great.
Well, I'm Dave from Deluxe Innovations, and what we've got coming next month is our 20-foot refrigerated containers.
Okay.
Those were announced something like about a year ago, I guess. And they're here. We've got the samples in our booth here. Mm-hmm. They'll be out, as I said, next month.
Okay.
We've also got some other stuff shipping. It's been hard getting shipments out of China. I'm sure other manufacturers have.
I've heard mixed stories from several people, yeah.
We're sort of throttling back our announcements because there's so much of a pipeline, we just don't really need to do it that much more. Mm. There is an announcement sheet that I prepared for this month, for this show. We're announcing the Coast Guard's 7th District Military Honors Corps. We just sold out of the 5th District, so it's time to announce another one. We're doing a run of Erie boxcars, a single, a 2-pack, and a 3-pack, 6 different road numbers. Nickel plate road, 2-bay covered hopper, again, is 6 road numbers, and single, 2, and 3-pack. A maxi stack, 3 container car, APL second run, which will be the 3rd and 4th road numbers. And containers, a Stacks 53-foot 2-pack, which is a rerun of the red Stacks with the yellow logo, Flexivan 48-foot 2-pack, and a Ned Lloyd 40-foot high-cube 5-pack. And that is the list.
Okay.
Orders are due by January 15th.
Okay.
We hope to produce about 6 months after that.
Okay. So by summer, at least.
Well, that's the plan.
And more?
It's been very spotty coming out of China, the product flow, so we do the best we can to give a date that we believe we can meet, but it unfortunately isn't always the case. There is on the table a rapid prototype sample of a reach stacker, which we offered as a kit and a built-up. It's not officially announced. We don't really know what price it's going to be.
Okay.
We don't even know whether we'll have to make it out of die-cast body to have enough weight, or whether we can make it all plastic or just weight inside.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the boom extended, we don't want it to tip over.
Right.
So we're at that stage where we've got the physical model to work with the weight consideration.
Still in the design phase, yeah.
So once we do that, once we understand how it's going to work, the material we're going to have to use to get the correct weight, we will then move forward with getting a quote, and we'll announce it officially with the price and expected volume.
Okay.
And as I said, it will be both kit and built-up versions.
My listeners model in everything, so.
Markland is celebrating our 150th anniversary this year.
Okay.
So that's really our big deal. And they came out with some models for the anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is running right here.
Okay.
This is a reproduction of a train that was done in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And called the Capitol. There's the packaging. They did like real retro packaging for it.
Nice.
So that's exciting. Unfortunately, Markland filed for bankruptcy protection in February.
Okay.
So a lot of the new items have been kind
of slowed down. Sure.
It's slowed down. So.
Okay.
But this is probably one of the most exciting things that they did make this year is this model. But they, this is not train related, but brought
it's
out some
there,
items.
Yeah.
Well, they brought out some items, for the 150th, things that they made in the past and that kind of thing. So, but again, we do have so much stuff. I mean, it's unreal. So.
My name is Ron Galloway. I am the host and the producer of Model Railroad TV. Model Railroad TV is an internet website. We're kind of just launching it now. The company we work for is Ashdown Incorporated, which is a publishing house out of England. And they already are up and running their England version of this, which is known as Model Railway TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do an American version. So hunting train shows and stuff, they found me. I'm a guy that has dedicated my life to promoting model railroads. I was the manager of the Gray Train Store at the Mall of America.
Okay.
When that company was fizzling, I jumped ship and I went to work for United Model out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So then I handled Minnesota and half of the Dakotas, half of Iowa, and half of Wisconsin as a traveling salesman, mm-hmm. selling trains, mm-hmm. taking pre-orders for Kato's and Atlas.
Sure.
And life was good. That actually then went away to the internet. And United Model himself got swallowed up by Great Plains.
Okay.
They bought him up. They still exist. And my regular job in life now, I work for Michael's Arts and Crafts. So our aisle that contains car models and model rockets, balsa wood, and X-Acto Knives is actually still serviced by United Model, mm-hmm. which is a chapter of Great Plains out of Champaign down in Illinois.
Okay.
And so Model Railroad TV found me to be the host and the producer, and I accepted the job and the challenge and jumped on board. Being a train guy, and I attend train shows, and I do dabble in all scales. All the trains you see behind me are my train.
Z through three rail Lionel.
Z through G, because I've got the G.
Oh,
over
I didn't notice that one.
On the table. So I dabble in all sizes.
Sure.
And these guys are, I mentioned, they're internet technicians, they're cameramen, but they're not train people.
Okay.
So they went, I'm actually their third person they tried. First two really didn't work out because they were not train people. They found me, they asked me to film my trains.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point offered me the job if I would be the host and the producer. And I accepted, and I can't believe I did it. It's crazy. I now spend every waking minute of my life, I'm on the internet. We're arranging the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're recruiting people.
Sure.
Talking to the guests. And then I walk the guests through the, what they're going to do. But the layout behind me, four different scales. We've dealt with the four main scales. We thought closely about the S-gauge guys, and yes, we've heard from them, right? S-gauge is, I don't know why they're not in there.
Yeah.
I kind of just don't go there, but we call it what we call the four major scales, and we are correct. If you want to go percentage of what people model in, this is the four major scales. And so the work on the train set, I've done a lot of it, but different model railroaders have come in, and then we film them, and we produce those as programs on our website.
Okay.
And that's the idea. So our website will teach you basic instructional, starting from putting a circle of Bachmann Easy Track onto a piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
I will also show you how to install and program these porters on Digitrax, DCC, and MCE, and I know other guys at MRC, so anything. We have live train videos, we visit train shows, we go to people's houses and we tour their layouts.
Mm-hmm.
Anything related to trains, we'll put on the website.
Great.
And that's it. That's Model Railroad TV.
All right.
And this is kind of like the official welcome to the world.
And I notice you do have a drawing for a giveaway for the year subscription.
This is correct. That's the
so
show.
It is a subscription-based service then.
It is a subscription-based service.
Okay.
So as an experimental venture, it now does appear that we're going to be successful.
Great. Great.
You can log on to model-railroad.tv. And without buying the website, you can view approximately 1 minute, 1 minute and a half of each
so
of these
programs.
You get a
sample of them, yeah.
There's about 50 or so, 60 programs in there now.
Okay.
Probably got another 10, 15 episodes in the studio that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the expert modelers we work with, they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
We know where they are. They're out there in the show on these module clubs and
so
stuff.
Sure.
So they're out there, and we've been talking to them, and we're also going to prepare a promo video of the Train Fest.
Okay.
For John Tu, who's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
We've contracted with him. We're going to do a couple of promo videos for him,
mm-hmm.
that he'll use to advertise the show next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that's about it. Model Railroad TV.
My name is Bruce Monroe, and I'm the owner of Monroe Models. And what am I going to come out with this year? Well, first off, I have a Sioux Line Depot coming out in N-Scale and hopefully HO. Mm-hmm. I've got the N-Scale almost done.
Okay.
It's a first-class standard Sioux Line Depot. And then I'm going to have the overhead gantry crane in HO scale.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the prototype parts all done. I just need to get the molds ready for production. And,
okay.
And that'll be set. And I think that'll be pretty popular because a lot of people have been purchasing it in N scale.
Sure.
So I think that'll be a good one in HO.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have? Working on some more bridges, mm-hmm. in HO and N scale. Maybe the Deck River Highway bridge, which is in Z scale,
okay.
originally. I may be scaling that up in NHR.
Well, even NZ, you can use it as a background model.
Yeah, that's true.
It looks really good for that.
And I have like a ton of things on the bench that I've drawn.
Yeah.
I haven't started, but they're not quite there yet. Oh, there's one thing. I'm probably going to get into more metal detail parts.
Okay.
I have a few here at the show. I haven't even released these to the stores yet. I just have them here. Basically, those are just the parts that are in my existing kits that I've made for myself. But
just packaged separately now.
Yeah, packaged separately, and then I have a whole slew of new parts in the prototype stage that I'm going to hopefully be producing pretty soon, but I haven't gotten them out. That's my winter project, so.
My name is Jim Wilde. I'm with Timberline Scenery Company. We manufacture a full line of scenery products, about 750 different barcodes available at www.timberlinescenery.com. We're here for the second year in Milwaukee, having a great show. We specialize in trees, but we have a full gamut of scenery products, from ground cover to sagebrush trees, to wood stains, adhesives, all sorts of colorants for plaster, for coloring rocks, things of that sort.
Okay. And I see a whole lot of different products here that I haven't seen from other manufacturers, like the ground cover to go into forest. That's a product that I haven't seen mixed up pre-made before.
I believe we are the only ones that make forest mold.
Okay.
Being from Colorado, if you go hiking in high country, you cannot walk without stepping on debris.
Right.
And that's what we try to emulate. We try to emulate the good ones.
It's a great color. Yeah. Nailed it.
And this product also is one that I haven't seen before. Is the
Pond Scum is exclusive to Timberline. It's a colorant that takes the guesswork out of coloring ponds.
Okay. So you add it into the resin that you're already mixing up?
You add it before the resin and pour the resin over the top.
Okay. Okay, so it becomes the base coat then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And does that react with any of the resins that you've seen? Or?
Once it dries, you pour the resin over the top of that and dry it off.
Just like paint then?
Just like paint.
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Matthew Young from Wheels of Time. And 2010, we're looking at a new line of buses coming out in January, the second batch, including the Toronto Transit Commission, AC Transit, New York Central, and a number of good good reprints there. Actually, it's New York City Transit Authority. Sorry about that. We're also coming out with a maintenance away series of baggage cars and coaches and painted in really colorful colors. And they should be in spring 2010. As well as we're still working on our tooling for our 70-foot baggage car and baggage mail cars. And that should be a lot of fun too.
Oh yeah.
So that's what we're looking for in 2010.
Great.
And come to our website at wheelsotime.com.
Wheels O Time.
There you go, yes indeed.
All right.
Hi, I'm Jerry Kimball. I'm from Atlas Model Railroad. And we're here at the 2009 Train Fest, which is a great show, by the way. And I've been asked, what's new from Atlas? Well, let's start with, at the top here, you can see we have the 5161 Trinity covered hoppers, which are popularly called worm trains by rail fans.
And that's an O scale.
That's an O scale, correct. We have our next offering of MP15 DC locomotives. Here we have the Chicago Northwesterns on display. We have our next offering of the U-23B, which, as you can see, the gray one on the end here, it actually got a nickname of the Gray Ghost. The railroad ran out of paint, so they just left it gray and put a blue stripe on it, and it stayed that way.
Just didn't put anything over the primer.
That's correct. And it stayed that way till its life was done on the railroad and actually was sold. In the center here is our pre-production 840CW, which will be our next contemporary diesel locomotive, six-axle from Atlas. You can see the road names that it will be introduced in: Santa Fe, BNSF, Union Pacific, CSX, with some more road names to follow. We have our next offering of C628 630s, Canadian Pacific, on display here. As you can see in front of you here, we have a number of train sets on display. Mm-hmm. Atlas just announced a train set sale. See your local Atlas dealer or visit the Atlas website, either the old website or the model or Atlas Model Railroad website for details on the train set sale.
And what is the URL for that site?
www.atlaso.com or okay. www.atlasrr.com.
Okay.
And you can transfer seamlessly between the two sites.
Great.
Moving over to the model side here, we have the Jeep 40-2W, which is a wide cab Canadian
nice.
Version.
In HO scale.
In yes. HO scale, right. We also have the gen sets on display, which we just announced. It's been a very, both these models have been extremely successful for Atlas Model Railroad. Has had a lot of interest here at Train Fest. We have obviously a laminated poster of our 85-foot trash container flat car, which we're the first to the market with that. And as you can see,
I don't remember seeing anything about that from anyone yet.
Okay, they're out there and they're becoming prevalent across the country. A lot of people thought that it's just an East Coast thing. It's not. Mm-hmm. These flat cars are showing up across the country. Here are the containers that go with them. The containers are different from the traditional 40, 45,
40. They're not the standard ISO containers.
Correct, exactly. So we've geared up and we're manufacturing those.
Cool.
We also just announced a 42-foot coil car, mm-hmm. An HO. And moving around to our clear counter here, you can see our next offering on the second shelf, mm-hmm. shelf of our SD40 and the IC, Illinois Central, and the DWP.
Okay.
Also another two examples of the 5161 Trinity covered hopper.
Mm-hmm.
50-foot PS1 boxcar, mm-hmm. Both in Canadian National as well as Hinsdale County.
Yes.
And also
the Michigan Railroad,
right, which everyone has been waiting on. In the center there on the bottom is our 60-foot, they're based off the 60-foot prototype passenger cars.
Okay.
Atlas has gotten into the passenger cars, at least on the O side of the house, in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
We have passenger cars now both in our toy line, which is Industrial Rail.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the P70 Pennsylvania Railroad car, but it's selectively compressed, so all the features are there. That's
okay.
Over on the table there. And then these are based off the 60-foot prototype that Chicago Northwestern basically pioneered, but a number of railroads used them.
Yeah,
and then here you can see a poster of our California Zephyr car.
Uh-huh.
We were hoping to have the prototypes here for this event. Unfortunately, they didn't make it in time.
Oh, yeah.
The Western Pacific F units that helped pull that train, they did make it the week before, the day before we came here.
Of course.
But the Zephyr cars we're still waiting on. We hope to have those for the Oklahoma show for anyone that's listening to this broadcast in the Oklahoma area. And these have driven a tremendous amount of excitement because we're the first company to do these in ABS with plating in O-scale. They've been done in brass, very, very, very expensive, as much as $1,500 a car.
And not as kid-friendly either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are $150 a piece. Street price will vary depending on the vendor that you go to.
Right.
But it's been a huge success. These are the first two cars of the consist that ran at a Zenith. There was 13 cars in the consist.
Yeah.
We'll announce the next two cars in January.
Yeah, and the two cars on here, you've got a coach and a dome, and I remember the California Zephyr had like six domes on it.
That's
so
correct.
That's a good start to it there.
Yeah, absolutely. This covers the most common cars that was on the California Zephyr train, so you can mix and match as many of the model railroaders have done already.
Sure.
And as you say, we sold so many of these, we had to go back and plus up our quantities,
uh-huh.
and we're already going through those in a very rapid process. A rapid pace. As a matter of fact, we just had two customers here this morning. The guy's eyes just jumped out of his head. He says, I had no clue you guys were going to California Zephyr cars. So he's already making a call Monday to his local hobby shop, who's a big Atlas dealer, to order up these cars.
Nice.
And let's see.
How about an N-scale? Because
N-scale.
I model personally an N-scale.
Okay.
Those are maps that do there are
all.
Corey, what's new in N-Scale that we may have brought with us here?
Nothing that hasn't already been known about.
Okay, so everything that's been out on the mailing list and on the on the website is still there.
Yep.
And nothing really new then.
Nothing really new.
Okay.
Like I said at the beginning of part one, I got to talk to quite a few companies at TrainFest. There are still a few more that we have yet to hear from in this show, but we've run out of time for this part. Tune in again for part three, where we'll finish our coverage of TrainFest 2009 new product announcements. Until then, please be sure to take some time to visit the manufacturer websites that are linked from the show notes for this episode at riptrack.net/podcast-011.2, and be sure to tell them that you heard about them on this show. You can help support the show financially by starting your Amazon.com shopping through the links on the RipTrack website at riptrack.net. Don't forget to leave your 5-star positive review of the show in iTunes so other listeners can see how highly you think of the show. For updates to show production as they happen, become a fan of the RipTrack on Facebook. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for future episodes, you can email text or sound files to podcast@riptrack.net. Until next time, happy modeling.